Chapter 5, The Holy Alliance. The subtitle of The Keys of This Blood, published in 1990, reads, The Struggle for World Dominion Between Pope John Paul II, Mikhail Gorbachev, and the Capitalist West. Since then, the competition has dwindled by a third, as Gorbachev couldn't retain dominion over his own country, much less the world. According to Martin's scenario, which seems to be happening, only two contenders for world dominion remain. The Capitalist West, led by the United States, and John Paul II, the leader of Roman Catholicism. The two powers depicted in Revelation and the great controversy that eventually do control the world. Though Martin has Rome and the United States competing for world dominion, Time magazine recently showed them cooperating, which, according to prophecy, is exactly what will happen. The magazine, with a picture of Pope John Paul II and Ronald Reagan on the cover, ran the headline, Holy Alliance, How Reagan the Pope Conspired to Assist Poland's Solidarity Movement and Hasten the Demise of Communism. The gist of the article was that from 1982 until the collapse of Polish communism, the United States and the Vatican, under the leadership of Pope John Paul II and then President Ronald Reagan, cooperated in a clandestine operation to free Poland from communism and loosen the Soviet hold upon Eastern Europe. This was one of the great secret alliances of all time, said Richard Allen, Reagan's first national security advisor, who was part of the team that worked with the Pope. The article, though dealing specifically with politics, indirectly introduced another aspect of prophecy, the union of Protestants and Catholics. Without the diminishing of hostilities, which has established an unprecedented atmosphere of friendliness and cooperation between Catholics and Protestants, this holy alliance probably would have never happened. The time issue symbolizes, then, not just the political alliance between the United States and the Vatican, but also the growing rapprochement between Protestants and Catholics. Romanism, Ellen White wrote in The Great Controversy, is now regarded by Protestants with far greater favor than in former years. Close quotes. Recent attitudes toward Roman Catholics, wrote Christianity Today's senior editor Kenneth Cancer, have become cautiously tolerant. More than just tolerant. Despite differences in theology, Catholics and Protestants over the past decades have been uniting where they can, especially on social issues. If Catholicism is to become more Catholic in the future, wrote David Wells in Eternity magazine, which is what I expect under the present Pope, then theological differences will become sharper, but our alliance with Catholics against the secular culture can become deeper. I, for one, am ready for the trade-off. Close quote. In the introduction to Evangelical Catholics by Catholic layman Keith Fournier, Protestant Chuck Colson wrote, quote, It is high time that us who are Christians come together regardless of the differences of our confessions and traditions and make common cause to bring Christian values to bear in our society. When the barbarians are scaling the walls, there is no time for petty quarreling in the camp. Apparently, for Chuck Colson, all that separates Catholics and Protestants is petty quarreling. Pat Robertson, too, promotes unity with Catholics on issues of common concern. I frankly believe, Robertson said, that evangelicals and Catholics in America, if they work together, can see many pro-family initiatives in our society, and we can be an effective counterbalance to some of the radical leftist initiatives. In that same Christianity Today editorial, Cancer continued, quote, Finally, we, Catholics and evangelicals, can work together on those political and social issues where we are in strong agreement. Our united effort in these areas will do much to influence the world to good. In spite of basic differences, we can use our common Judeo-Christian value system to forge moral leadership that will advance the cause of justice and peace through a stable society in our nation and around the world. William Bentley Ball, noted constitutional lawyer and lay Catholic, wrote an article in Christianity Today called Why Can't We Work Together?, in which he stressed that conservative Catholics and evangelicals hold many doctrines in common: the divinity of Christ, the virgin birth, the Holy Spirit, the inerrancy of the Bible, the existence of Satan, and man's salvation through Christ. He might as well have added Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul as well. From these common beliefs, he explained, many Catholics and many evangelicals derive clear positions on issues of law and public policy. Close quote. The opinion is gaining ground, wrote Ellen White, that after all, we do not differ so widely upon vital points as has been supposed. In recent years, said a Catholic periodical, evangelicals and Catholic groups have joined forces at every level of social action, from grassroots protests to lobbying Congress for changes in public policy, and have prevailed on a variety of shared concerns. Close quotes. One example of the political alliance between Catholics and Protestants occurred in April 1992 when Roman Catholics and Southern Baptist leaders, representing the two largest religious groups in the United States, groups not historically amicable, filed an amicus friend of the court brief urging, quote, a thorough constitutional reconsideration, close quote, of abortion law in the United States. Besides the shared political and social thrust, another means of reconciliation between Catholics and Protestants has arisen: the notions of Catholics as evangelicals. If, like myself, you count yourself a Protestant in the Reformed tradition, wrote Colson in Keith Fournier's book, you may be surprised to find that you find yourself more at home with Keith's thinking than with that of many of your Protestant brothers and sisters. If you are an Orthodox Catholic, you may find that you are truly part of the evangelical camp. Though numerous factors are involved in this idea of evangelical Catholics, a predominating one has been the burgeoning charismatic movement among Roman Catholics. Over the past few decades, the influx of 60 million Catholics worldwide into the charismatic movement has done more to break down barriers than any other factor since Vatican Council II. Who cares if they pray the rosary, confess sins to priests, and believe that the Pope is infallible? If they speak in tongues and manifest other gifts, then Jesus must be working in their lives. They have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's what counts. Protestant and Catholic charismatic teaching on Christian life, wrote Christianity Today senior editor J.I. Packer, is to all intents and purposes identical. Is not this significant for the Christian future? Close quote. It's not hard to see how the charismatic movement can form the bridge. Charismatics have always tended to emphasize spiritual gifts at the expense of doctrine. A typical charismatic church could be filled with premillennials, amillennials, postmillennials, mid-premillennials, and mid-postmillennials, and on and on. Outside of a few basics, such as the divinity of Christ, the devil, and the Holy Spirit, all of which Catholics believe, charismatics can disagree on just about every other doctrine. The important thing is to be filled with the Spirit. That overrides doctrinal differences, even with Roman Catholics. The Catholic charismatic movement doesn't seem to be a passing fad either. In June of 1992, 17,000 Catholic charismatics gathered in Pittsburgh to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the movement. Catholic charismatics have been accepted by the Vatican as well, with the full blessings of Pope John Paul II. The International Charismatic Renewal Office occupies space at the Vatican. Charismatic conferences held the world over burgeon with Catholics who claim that their charismatic gifts have, quote, deepened their experience of the rosary and of Mass and increased their devotion to Mary. Priests, nuns, even monks raise hands, speak in tongues, and utter prophecies. At a charismatic gathering in New Orleans in 1987, half the participants were Roman Catholics, as were many speakers. Charismatic leader Vizon Sinan called these conferences, quote, the only major meeting of its kind in the world where Protestants and Catholics get together, close quote. Ellen White wrote in The Great Controversy, the time was when Protestants placed a high value upon the liberty of conscience, which had been so dearly purchased. They taught their children to abhor popery and held that to seek harmony with Rome would be disloyalty to God. But how widely different are the sentiments now expressed. Close quote. I have found, said Billy Graham, many people in the Roman Catholic Church, both clergy and laity, who I believe are born-again Christians. They may hold different theological views than I hold, but I believe that they are in the body of Christ, so I consider them my brothers and sisters in Christ. Close quote. Even Ellen White wrote, quote, that they are real Christians in the Roman Catholic Communion, close quote. But she said of these people, quote, many will take their position with God's people after receiving the truth. That's not what Billy Graham meant. Many Catholics regard themselves as true evangelicals. Furthermore, my identification as a Catholic Christian, wrote Keith Fournier, is necessarily evangelical. I am evangelical because I am on fire to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, the word evangelical must not be reserved for one small segment of Christians. Rather, it should be the proud adjective of all Christian people. Close quote. Apparently, more and more Protestants would agree. Ellen White's warning in Great Controversy that Catholics and Protestants bearing hostilities would draw it together has become a reality. She never said that there would have to be complete doctrinal harmony. She said merely that they would unite on common points, which is what's happening. Eventually, they will join in an effort to promote Sunday legislation. Meanwhile, they're uniting when and where they can. The headlines have been so common for years. Anglicans call for unity under the Pope. Lutherans ask Pope for shared communion. New signals about reunification. Catholic and Lutheran bishops will hold joint worship. What's astounding about these events in light of the Great Controversy is that basic Catholic doctrine has not changed. Rome has not renounced or even diluted the Mass, transubstantiation, auricular confession, devotion to Mary. If anything, that has skyrocketed. The Immaculate Conception, Mary's bodily assumption into heaven, purgatory, papal infallibility, papal supremacy, and the Roman Church as the final interpreter of Scripture. But Romanism, wrote Ellen White a century ago, is no more in harmony with the gospel of Christ now than at any former period. Close quote. Numerous meetings on justification by faith, the doctrine that first split the church, have been held between Catholic and Protestant scholars, and formal declarations of harmony are occasionally read, but these are mostly debates about semantics. We Adventists argue the same issues among ourselves, with the Catholic position not changing. Rome today remains what she has been for centuries, namely a sacramental church, which means that for her, salvation comes only through her hierarchical sacramental mediation. You have to do things to be justified and do them only through the church. At Vatican Council II, when the Catholic Church supposedly loosened up, the council compared the Roman Church to the incarnate Redeemer. The church was instituted, it said, quote, as a universal sacrament of salvation, close quote. And this is the church that many Protestants accept as evangelical? There has been a change, Ellen White wrote in the Great Controversy, but the change is not in the papacy. John Paul, despite all his talk about the unity of the body of Christ, is a conservative dogmatist showing little inclination to compromise. Apparently, he doesn't have to. For Protestants seem to be taking Rome just as it is. And, according to inspiration, that's how they're going to get it.